Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to Secrets of the Sire. We do this every Wednesday night, 8 p.m. Eastern, talkradio.nyc, coming at you live from New York City. We talk comics, movies, TV, pop culture. Tonight, we are going to be talking about the one, the only Stan, the man Lee. We honestly, as true fans and as true, purveyors of his message. It was a bittersweet week this week. We postponed our interview with Fright Night's William Ragsdale the next week. We moved a lot of things around because we thought tonight needs to be about him. And so we will be discussing his life, his cameos, his influence, his everything tonight. And we welcome you guys. This is the first night I am actively, openly stressing to call the station up because I would love to go through Stan Lee. Who am I? I am Mike Dolce. As always, I'm brought to you alongside Mr. Lord of the Radio himself, Hassan Godwin.
They call me Mr. Tibbs.
We are Secrets of the Sire. And again,
you know what? It's a sad situation, but Tuesday, Tuesday was a sad day. A friend of mine suffered a loss the same day, you find out about it. I got the text from you, basically, informed me. It was like, oh man. And Stan Lee was 95 years old. So it's not like one of those like out of nowhere, like thunderbolts that hit you. But as the day went on, you realize how tremendous like that was.
And that, I agree with you 100%, but hang on. I agree with you 100% because 95 years old, if it's a grandmother that passes away or grandfather passes away, you sit there and go, wow, 95, they lived a really good life.
Yeah.
So you feel bad for the person.
Yeah.
But even the person doesn't quite,
I'm not mourning for Stan. I mourn for me. You know, I'm mourning for us.
But that's the thing. The Stan Lee death actually hit me a little different because I'm sitting there saying, what do you mean there's not going to be any Stan Lee signings at conventions? It was such a mainstay, and there's no Stan Lee cameos now, and it was a different kind of loss.
Unlike Jack Kirby and Buzz Dixon and all these guys who were these powerhouses in the industry that our chosen industry, right?
Yeah.
Stan Lee was omnipresent.
Yeah.
Like, he was there for everything. I was talking to Rob earlier this evening about
fill-in producer, Rob K.
The Spider-Man and His Amazing Friends, like just his voice narrating that, before I even knew, I just thought he was some guy who was doing the voiceover for Spider-Man and His Amazing Friends before I knew the tremendousness of who he was. And, Excelsior, everybody knows. People were Excelsioring all over the place on Tuesday.
I know.
My news feed, I didn't realize how many comic industry compatriots I had until that day came up and that news
that
feed every
was,
other entry.
Okay, but and it's funny you mention that. Look, we usually have a very rigid format when it comes to this. We have an hour show, we have commercial breaks, we have all this other stuff, right?
Yeah.
So I like to be rigid. Today there's no rigidity to it. We will have spinning the racks, we will have I did come up with a couple of things that we can do. Oh no, I got a good one actually. I got a good one. It's Stanley related, it's a really good one.
Just my luck.
But tonight I implore people, call 877-480-4120. I want to hear your stories. This is a celebration of
everyone's got one.
And that's
everyone's got one.
That's the thing that got me so amazed though. Did you see Mark Millar's tweet?
No, I did not.
Mark Millar,
there were so many of them.
Mark Millar tweeted that Stan Lee gave him the greatest piece of advice. And he talked about how Mark Millar had just kind of really broken in at Marvel and was big at DC at that point,
right.
It was really, really, and to him, he's like, well, I made it and I'm here. And he's like, but I have all these other stories. Should I even? And Stan told him, according to his tweet, pop culture gets stagnant after a while and you need to keep creating new things. So if you're just working on stuff that's already established, it's going to get old with the audience.
Right, really quickly.
So you need to be doing new things. And he says, the next day I wrote Wanted.
Ah.
And the next day I released that. He says, there would be no Millar world without Stan Lee. Fabian Nicieza, a frequent guest of our show, too. I mean, he got advice from Stan. I mean, there's so many professionals who it's like, had dinner with Stan. He pulled me aside and said this, this, and this. And it was like, oh.
Yeah.
That was effing and, you know, it was really, huge what you just told me. And you don't know that. You don't know this. No.
Anecdotally, though, I was very annoyed because everybody in the world, every friend I have, apparently, has had their picture taken with Stan Lee.
See, do you know the spin?
I did not get a Stan Lee picture taken with me. I felt like a complete loser on Tuesday.
I'm going to give a shout out to fan of the show and sometime guest, Alexa Fox.
Okay.
She posted about this, and I can't disagree. She felt it was always a little cheap. To have to pay to get your picture taken. There's something about it's not organic. It's not an organic meeting. There's some folks. Look, there are some folks who have this, like, you know, they were in the industry and happened to like Buddy Scalera got to interview him.
Yeah, their circumstances allowed them to have a natural
encounter. And so for her, she never wanted that. Experience. She wanted. Sorry, not she. Alexa did not. Yes. I thought
Alexa is a woman.
I confused it with Buddy for a second. This is very hard to do.
Yeah.
Or easy if you know the two.
We had a birthday dinner, so if we seem a little sluggish, that's because we had our birthday dinner.
We'll get to it. We'll flash that card on screen later.
So
she commented on that, and I don't disagree with that because that's the way I always felt. Right. I had a Stan Lee experience. I didn't take my photo with
him. Wait, hold on. Are you saying that most of those people paid for those pictures?
There are some folks.
I feel so much better about this now.
If you see a Stan Lee photo op and you're not a comic book industry person.
Right. Then it's
I would say 9 times out of 10, you paid for that experience. And there's nothing wrong
with
that.
There's nothing wrong with
nothing
that.
Nothing wrong with that.
Absolutely nothing wrong with
it. We're not detracting from that.
But I felt like kind of a lesser industry aficionado because I didn't have my standard photo with Stan Lee. A lot of people got Stan Lee. And look, I can't exaggerate this. I cannot overstate this. A lot of people have pictures. There was all over the news feeds. I'm like, oh my God, he's got one. She's got one. She's a janitor. How does she even meet Stan Lee? You know, so I had Stan Lee envy like a lot of Tuesday. I couldn't, to your point earlier. I wrote at thank you, Stan, you know, on my, because I don't have this, like, kind of not to mix our Titans, but it's kind of like when Harlan Ellison died. It's like, how do I even?
Yeah. The thing with Harlan Ellison, though, too, and I think someone said Ray Bradbury passed away also.
Yeah, a while ago.
There's lots of icons, right?
Yeah. Or monsters. I would call them like monsters. Like these people like are just. They're
Stanley
responsible.
Is the architect, though, of such a, and now thanks to the movies, and movies are a big part of this. So I mean, we can't detract from that.
Well, no, I'm not. What I'm saying is
he's the architect of so. No, I'm not. I agree with you. How do you comprehend this? I'm saying his passing, though, was even greater than that. I feel like because we have such an intimate experience within the industry.
There's a quote.
Do you know?
There's a quote from which encompasses exactly how I felt when you sent me the text. Right. There's a quote from I Claudius. I'm proving my geek cred here. when the Emperor Augustus died. His successors, when he died, his successor said the earth will shake.
Yeah.
You know, because it's that's how tremendous. It's like, wow. This is, we don't even realize how that, you know, is. I mean, just like the scene from Infinity War where he's driving the bus, you know, it's like, what, have you guys never seen a spaceship before? You know, and he just fit every nook and cranny of that universe.
Yeah.
And he was everywhere. And every time it got a laugh.
We will do this a little later in the show. We're gonna rank his best cameo appearances because that's something that people...
From all the way back, if people can name the first one, I bet you can't.
I actually can because I did my research today. But then we had our birthday dinner, so I forgot it. But...
Yes, because it wasn't just eating, ladies and gentlemen.
But...
We imbibed.
What I was going to say, though, is the fact that his cameos even just gave people joy. You know, I mean, like, he gave so many people joy. Now, look, There's a darker side to Stan Lee. There's a darker side to his story. Mm. The battles over credits right. when it comes to like Steve Ditko and Jack right. Kirby especially.
Right.
There's the later stuff that happened yeah. later on in his life too. It's not about that tonight.
Yeah. It's not a perfect story, but they're never a perfect story.
No, but you know what though? For the most part though, the thing that has really resonated with me is the fact that everyone I'm reading about though has, and again I'm talking about
Stanley moment.
Industry people for the yeah. most part, but even like non-industry people, and there's a difference, right? But the non-industry people have these moments of like, hey, I was a nerdy kid and you gave me comfort, you know, it's like the lead singer of Stained years ago wrote that whole song devoted to Layne Staley from Alice in Chains, because he's like, you know, your music got me through times when I was feeling like you would write music for, and it got me through it. And there's right. so many people that have that Stan Lee moment where it's like, you know, your comics about disenfranchised youth and repressed youth and, you know, discriminated against youth. And it's like you gave me something to look at. And it didn't yeah. matter what color of skin you were. It didn't matter what you were. He just...
Gene Roddenberry. He popularized the hero genre for mm-hmm. as an allegory for our real lives, you know.
Yeah.
He did, because I mean DC, all these other places weren't doing that,
right?
They were doing gods. They were doing stories about gods and these other worldly creatures that we all were supposed to look up to, and there's nothing wrong with that either. There's room for that, but Stan Lee took it to a completely different approach of
yeah.
what if the
right.
people under the foot were right. also the heroes,
and again, not to talk about the bad stuff, but it's in the conversation of the bad stuff, the whole challenge of, was it Jack Kirby? Because Jack Kirby did a lot of did all the artwork and yeah. did a bulk of the storytelling,
right.
That being said, there's two things that Stan Lee always did great. Great dialogue is not something that you can simply just gloss over.
No.
There
it's
are
a big deal.
Things that I write and people say like, this is, the dialogue was so good, it got me, it takes you places.
Right.
I'm not saying his dialogue was like the greatest dialogue you've ever written. I mean, it's still comic book dialogue in the 60s, but you have to put it in the context of what had come before that.
Mm-hmm.
His dialogue at the time was groundbreaking.
Right. I totally agree.
Which is bad for the show.
Yeah. Too bad.
Taking those mundane moments, the mundane problems, again, never been done before.
Right.
And there's a formula to what he did.
Right.
That the more childish aspect to all of us, the child within us. Like when I was creating comics at 11 years old, 12 years old, I was making comics based on what Stan Lee had kind of formulated.
Right.
It was his formula that I was using. It was his formula that I created the Sire on. It was his formula that I created like 80 million other characters. It was just continual, you know, as creators, we tend to think too much these days, right? I do anyway, because things have come before and things have been done before. So you're always trying to think like, I want to think outside the box. I want to be up to my idols, the Frank Millers and the Mark Millars, you know, people are thinking outside the box and doing all these great things.
Mm.
And as a creator, sometimes it's just simple. Just write people with problems. Write interesting characters. And that's what Stanley did. All right. When we come back, we're going to keep going. But we implore you, 877-480-4120. We want your stories if you've got them. I don't care if you paid for the photo. I'm sure it was still a memorable experience. I don't care if you met him at a bar somewhere.
I never said there was anything wrong with paying for it.
No, we didn't. No. It's just funny you mentioned that because we have a good story about that too. But I want to hear from you guys. Chime in on the Facebook feed. Get us back. If not, we're going to keep going. We're going to go with some of his best creations and the one fatal flaw that Rob Liefeld found with all this when we come back.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network.
Did you know you've been playing poker your whole life, even if you've never played a hand of cards? Hi, I'm Ellen Lakend, author of Poker Woman and host of the new show, Poker Divas. On the show, I talk about how poker strategy helps you win in business, life, and love. Tune in live every Thursday, 1 p.m. to 2 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on talkradio.nyc.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network. Are you stuck in a rut? Negative thoughts, feelings, and conversations got you down? Hi, I'm Noreen Sumter, the Potentiator. Tune in every Tuesday at 9 to 10 p.m. Eastern Time and listen for new ideas on my show, Beyond Potential, Live Life Your Way, on talkradio.nyc.
Who do you want to connect with?
Are you an entrepreneur or intrapreneur looking to build your following?
Welcome to our show.
Follow Me Friday with Joan
and Priya.
Tune in every Friday at noon Eastern
on talkradio.nyc.
We're your digital connectors.
Woo, woo!
Talking Alternative Radio, 24 hours a day.
We're going to keep it superficial.
Just a brass tack.
We are very superficial people in general.
Well,
so we are going to stick to... Well, I'm a very superficial person.
Yeah, I'm all right.
I'm a book by the cover kind of person.
I'm a great guy. I'm not superficial at all.
Secrets of the Sire.
Welcome back to Secrets of the Sire. We talk comics, movies, TV, and pop culture, all the stuff that Stan Lee had an instrumental hand in creating for your enjoyment. We are looking back on his epic career. He's the godfather of Marvel Comics. It was a sad day when he passed away, but yeah, again, like we kind of said...
pretty shocking.
You know, but not really. 95, you kind of figured it had to come. I mean, no one lives forever.
It's not when you break it down to, yeah, the man was 95 years old. He was old when I was young, kind of circumstance. It is kind of pretty like, oh, well, that's inevitable. But
yeah,
when you take into context the loss, like it's tremendous. Like
right.
This man is not, he's not someone who invented Marvel Comics or, you know, who was a purveyor of Marvel Comics. And we all know him out of deference to whoever started Marvel Comics.
Yeah.
He was a presence. Yeah, he was an absolute presence of Marvel Comics. And he was, like I said before, he's omnipresent.
He was
ubiquitous to everything that was Marvel. So it is like the face of Marvel has left. We're never going to see that again.
I'm going to go into a little bit of his bio in a little bit. I want to definitely give fans out there who might not know where he came from and how he got to where he is. I'm going to do a little bit of that. But the whole purpose of tonight is really a celebration. And that's why we said we open the phone lines up, 877-480-4120. We want your stories. And we got Casey, which I'm assuming from Bad Coyote Funky.
The one and only.
All right. Give us your story, my man. I want to hear your Stan Lee experience. This is a celebration for him and his life. It truly is because of so much he's given us. I want to give back to the people out there. So tell us what you got.
Well, I've only got the one, but, you know, I'm grateful to have it. Let me take you back to the far-flung year of 2016. New York Comic Con, the year that, if you remember, was the year where they were parading around. It's like, oh, it's Stan's last chance. It's his last, his last experience in New York Comic Con. They were making a big show and dance of it, and I'm like, this is the year. I want to get a picture with him. I want to get something signed by him. I got to do something.
Mm-hmm.
But I knew that if it was my one shot, I had to make it worthwhile. So I shopped around, and I looked for a couple of things and I dug it out, and I knew that I wanted to get signed. The first one was my copy of Silver Surfer number 1 from 1968, which he did with John Buscema.
Wow.
I love the Surfer, even though I consider him a Kirby creation more than just Stan.
Sure.
But his work on that book, the narrative, everything, that's what truly made me fall in love with Stan Lee as a writer.
Mm-hmm.
But to top that, the one thing I could think of, the one thing that the head honcho of Marvel, who did writing, who did editing, who did the soapboxes, everything under the sun, his singular voice brought to you as the reader, the best thing that you could get signed by Stan Lee, a Marvel No Prize.
Ooh.
No Prize.
Now,
yes.
Yeah, you and Hassan know exactly
for
what
the uninitiated, a no prize was something that he would typically give out if you found an error or you or just a continuity glitch or something.
Books.
Yeah, to the point that you get a no prize and you would get an envelope, get an empty envelope. I believe it was just an empty envelope, wasn't it?
Yeah, it's just an empty envelope with green printing back when Marvel still had their old Fifth Avenue address.
Yep.
But the charm of it was, it's just, you know, it's just a novelty prize for like a really clever or a really zealous fan.
Yeah,
right.
And I'm not old enough to have ever actually won one.
No, I don't think they give them out.
Bad
anymore.
Thing to admit on live radio, but I don't care.
You're younger than us, so you got us beat already.
It's not that bad.
So I bought one. I bought one that was in pretty pristine condition.
Oh,
and
you bought a no prize.
I was like, this is it. You know, I've got my Mary Marvel Marching Society badge.
Gotta
I've got
have
my
that.
No prize. I'm gonna get in line. I'm gonna.
That's
do
like
signing.
Buying an Eagle so Award.
A ticketed signing. You can only get one thing. So I picked that one before I ended up having to go all in line again to get Surfer written.
Yeah.
And you know, he's got these handlers and he's always looking down.
Sure.
Right? Stan's not even looking at these people in the face. He's like a machine. He's just doing his signature, passing it along. You know, the handler gives it to him because you can't hand Stan things directly. You know, you can't really talk to him, like nothing. They pass it along. So I hand it to his handler and he's like, wow, I haven't seen one of these. And I'm like, well, you know, I figure if I'm going to get one, I'm going to go all out.
Yeah.
He hands it to Stan, and he looks up at me. And the guy is, at this point, 93 years old. I'm assuming he can still barely see anything.
Yeah.
But he looks at it, and he goes, wow, you're a true believer and a true fan.
Oh, wow.
Mike, I swear to you, I could have died right there, and it would have been a life well lived.
That's freaking sweet.
Yeah, that's a good one.
That's freaking sweet. I love it. Casey, thank you for calling in. Thank you for being a part of this. This is, like I said, it's somber, but it's also, it's bittersweet, I guess, is what you could say. You don't want this day to come, but it has to. It's an inevitability. What a terrific life, and what a great story. If you've got a story, please call in. Again, we're a weekly podcast, but we always do this as a live radio show. We very rarely take advantage of the live radio format. 877-480-4120. If you are listening to us on podcast, you can still call the radio station. They have shows going on all the time.
They'll talk to you.
But again, I want your stories. You can always hit us up on the Facebook page after the fact as well, too. The video runs, and we comment through the week. That's an amazing story. Reading people's accounts again, it wasn't just like, hey, I got my picture taken with Stan Lee. It was, he impacted me in a way that was.
And there's so many of those stories.
Yeah.
There's so many, like, you know, and they're, you know, they're all kind of oddball, corny stories until you hear like the actual admiration in the person's voice when, you know, especially when someone says, yeah, I know this is corny, but I was on cloud nine after he. Yeah. And you know exactly.
I know
exactly.
I know.
What happened. You know, you know exactly what that feeling is like.
You know, here's the other thing I'll say, too. He was, you know, again, not getting into the debate of credit and all this other stuff. I mean, he was just a part of so many of iconic characters. So I posted on Facebook this week, like, give me your one creation of Stan Lee's that's your favorite. Just one. You got to pick your favorite. I assumed 98% was going to say Spider-Man,
yeah.
But no. I mean, we had Fing Fang Foom, Galactus. We had a couple Wolverines, in which case Rob Liefeld had to lay the smack down and be like, not a Stan creation.
Yeah,
that post, by the way, and again, I hate this to being the reason, but actually had the entire creative team responsible for Deadpool commenting on my Facebook feed, which is pretty impressive.
Yeah, that's pretty awesome.
It's not bad.
That is awesome.
Now, Fabian Nicieza, he gave three, and I had to yell at him. I said, give me one.
Yeah.
But it's not just Spider-Man. It's, you know, he created X-Men. Now, for me, X-Men, and for you as well, when we were kind of like in our heyday, was the comic was that the everyone thing. Cared about, but it wasn't Stan's X-Men. That being said, someone also put Magneto, the first villain whose motivations you could truly understand.
Right.
You know,
right.
And I mean, it's little nuances like that. Cyclops is a character. Jean Grey was mentioned as a character. I mean,
what he did for me as far as, because I will full disclosure, I've never met Stan Lee. I never got a chance to meet him.
I'll tell you my story in a second.
But what he did for me, and I didn't notice it until it was like glaringly obvious. Like, I didn't notice it until I noticed it. Every one of the heroes from Marvel, like from our day, mm-hmm. like from the X-Men, whatever, they all were terribly flawed.
Yeah.
And I don't mean that they had a character flaw that, you know, one of them was an alcoholic and the other one was like, you know, was into stucco or something weird. But whatever their powers allowed them to do, there was a serious drawback to
sure.
it. So it was kind of baked into the cake that there is always going to be some kind of handicap. Like, these powers make you exceptional, but in order for this gag to work, this dejected and, you know, and outmoded or outcast of society,
mm-hmm.
in order for us to buy it, we do have to understand that there are disadvantages, you know? So, like, you know, some guy like Scott Summers comes along, and he can blow people away with his eyes.
Yeah.
And you're like, well, you know, why are these people oppressed? But he can't look at anybody directly. He can't look at anything except for, you know, through these ruby quartz glasses,
yeah.
or he'll end up killing, you know, people that he loves, that, you know, he'll end up murdering people by accident. Everybody, like, you know, Beast, handicap became the way he looked. Every one of them had a flaw built into their superpower, which was another stroke of genius that allowed us to sympathize with them.
Yeah.
Because, like, if you're going to say that these people are, you know, an outcast, mm-hmm. you know, an outmoded, you know, social string, but they can, you know, they've got healing factors and they've got powers and, you know, telekinesis that allows them to fly and mm-hmm. they can teleport anywhere they want. It's like, you'd be like, well, why are these people outcasts and why do they care? But because these flaws were baked into their powers and they were also part of their personalities,
yeah.
you easily identified them as, you know, as outcasts. You easily identified them as people with handicaps.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, these powers weren't all of a sudden, they weren't these things that made them exceptional. They were the things that made them, you know, that kept them from being part of the society.
Yeah.
And it was just, it's a stroke of genius, you know? And in the early inception of, you know, eventually everybody just started to get, like, around the time that they invented Wolverine.
Yeah.
Wolverine didn't really have too many flaws. And then they, you know, they started to take that track where everybody was, you know, and then they started to give them natural social power, you know, problems, like Tony Stark became a raging alcoholic and, you know, these normal things. They weren't as psychologically ingrained into their abilities as they were in the beginning. But that's what I remember most. That's what set them apart from the DC characters, who were, again, they were gods. And it was hard to identify with Superman's feeling of otherness, because Superman could move the earth.
Yeah.
You know, he could move the sun if he wanted to.
Yeah.
So it's kind of hard to go, oh, well, yeah, I can understand why Superman's upset that he's not able to eat at a restaurant and
yeah.
not be recognized. But you could understand why Kurt Wagner, why Nightcrawler felt like a monster.
Yeah.
Because he looked, you know, he could do extraordinary things, but he looked like a monster.
Right.
So I think that's a stroke of genius that not a lot of people talk about.
Yeah.
That's definitely was part of the Marvel formula way back in the day.
Yeah, no, it was truly incredible. All right, when we come back, we want to do a little fun thing. We want to go through his top 10 cameos of all time.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network.
Do you like comic books and movies? How about TV and pop culture? Then you've come to the right place. Hi, I'm Michael Dolce, host of Secrets of the Sire. Joined every week by my co-host, Hassan, Lord of the Radio Godwin. Together, we have over 15 years' experience creating graphic novels, screenplays, and more. Join us as we bring you the inside scoop on the pop culture universe you love to talk about. Wednesday nights, 8 p.m. Eastern, talkradio.nyc.
Are you feeling unhappy with your body, shape, or size? Ever feel out of control with food? I'm Elizabeth Tripp, your host of Nourish the Soul. Join me to uncover the root to these imbalances and discover a permanent solution to living a healthy life. Join us every Wednesday at my new time, 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on talkradio.nyc.
Talking Alternative Radio, 24 hours a day.
We talk comics, movies, TV, pop culture, all the stuff that you love, and we do it right
stuff
here.
Stuff that makes the girls run away.
Oh, well, clearly. No. That is completely false.
Stuff that makes the girls
That leave. Is completely, completely false.
I recommended
false.
Secrets of the Sire on my show, and I got less female listeners.
Secrets of the Sire.
Welcome back to Secrets of the Sire. We talk comics, movies, TV, pop culture every Wednesday night, 8 p.m. Eastern, talkradio.nyc and streaming live on facebook.com/secretsofthesire, twitter.com. We're on at @Michael_Dolce, youtube.com/secretsofthesire. We're talking Stan Lee, and we want to get into the 10 best cameos he's ever appeared. So Cinema Blend, I mean, a bunch of sites did this, so It's not as if... It's just that.
I'm not going to take credit for it.
But I think what I did, though, when I started posting, which was really cool, I started posting about this kind of thing, and people were really, like, into it, like, really into it. And, you know, everyone kind of gave the same answer. I can't say that they gave the same answer, but a lot of the same ones kind of came up. The Deadpool cameo in Deadpool 2, which was big, when he was with the strippers, which is pretty impressive. Mm-hmm. And the Guardians of the Galaxy 2 one, which is
that's the most poignant one. That's like the Guardians one. I don't know. That's low hanging fruit because that was the most blatant use of Stan Lee, like you know, and in his glory, you know, turning him into one of the Watchers. I personally think his last. Well, I don't know if that will be his last one, but the one in Infinity Wars. Was my favorite when he's just a bus driver.
Yes.
And the one from, as bad as that film is, the one from, I think, The Amazing Spider-Man.
Sure.
The first one where he's in the library and Spider-Man keeps saving his life from having the lizards like throwing things
was,
at him.
I think it was Amazing 2, wasn't it?
Or, I think no, it was maybe the was, first one. Maybe it was the lizard. One. He was fighting the lizard.
And he's got the earphones on.
Yes.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
And he saves Stan Lee's life maybe twice.
Those are all on the list. So again, Cinema Blend kind of did this. The Hulk cameo in 2003 was an epic one. Him and Lou Ferrigno.
Yeah, just walking
Ferrigno
out of...
as security guard. What makes that epic, obviously, is the fact that Lou Ferrigno's there, too.
Yes.
I mean, there's nothing about that. You can't say anything. Rise of the Silver Surfer, Fantastic Four. He's got a great cameo in that. It was a callback to Marvel Comics. The scene was a recreation of 1965's Fantastic Four Annual, in which Stan Lee and Jack Kirby are similarly turned away from the couple's big day of getting married. So that's kind of cool, too, that they were able to do that.
Yeah, they reenact that, yeah.
Spider-Man 3, he's got the most lines. And most relevant. He had his most relevant cameo.
Which one was that?
Lee spoke to Peter Parker, a.k.a. Tobey Maguire, as they read a news ticker detailing Spider-Man saving a police officer. Lee reminds Parker that one man can make a difference.
Okay. You know what?
Yeah.
That might have to go on the list as probably the best one.
You think so?
A, he's giving advice. B, he's talking to Spider-Man.
Yeah.
Give me a break. I mean, how much more of a comics geek wet dream could that possibly be?
Mm-hmm. Iron Man, 2008's Iron Man, was a turning point for the Marvel film universe, obviously. He showed up at the debut of Robert Downey Jr., and there's a moment when Tony Stark mistakes him for Playboy founder Hugh Hefner.
That's cute.
I mean, that's pretty great, right? I mean, you can't beat that. The Avengers, in the first Avengers, he was seen in a news report about the superhero team that saved the day. So he had a pretty, I mean, as important as cameos can be,
yeah,
pretty important one there. Amazing Spider-Man.
Which one was it where, I think it was the second Spider-Man. Wasn't it Spider-Man 2, the Sam Raimi Spider-Man, where he saved a woman's life?
I think so.
There's one where he pulls someone out of the way of the of falling debris. I think it's the second one.
Yeah.
When he's fighting Doc Ock over the bank.
Yeah.
And he and Stanley actually saves someone's life
yeah.
in that one.
Yeah. Well, there's one that says Lee's cameo in 2012's Amazing Spider-Man. That's the one we were talking about. It's unquestionably one of the best, mainly due to his performance. Lee is obliviously jamming onto music uh-huh. while Lizard and Spider-Man wreak havoc all around him. It broke up a serious moment in the film. It's one of his best acting performances. that one's a memorable one. That might be top
three,
that's
one of my favorite.
Personally, even though it's not in this one.
That is absolutely one of my favorites.
Winter Soldier, a lot of people talk about this one. You know, it's funny. In culling together, I'm the one that culls together all the images that you guys see on the Facebook feed and YouTube feed.
Oh, yeah, take credit for that.
I am taking credit for that. Actual job.
Yeah.
And a lot of the things are him going like, just very like, like very shocked. Yeah. And so I have a shot of Winter Soldier. I have another one of him going, that was his range.
Yeah.
His range was either Stanley or shock Stanley.
Yeah.
And that was
yeah.
pretty much it. But the Winter Soldier one, he donned the role of security guard yet again. He realizes Captain America's World War II outfit is missing. It's priceless.
That's right. That's right.
That's the shock Stanley.
I do remember that one.
Lee's cameo in the Avengers sequel, Age of Ultron, also Pat Chan's favorite Marvel movie. Crazy Pat Chan. Yeah. The Marvel man shrugged off Thor's warning regarding his request for some of his millennia-aged alcohol. The scene ends with Lee being helped out of the bar while muttering the catchphrase, Excelsior. That's another thing we saw.
Cute.
We
cute
saw
one.
That everywhere. People yeah. talking Excelsior, Excelsior, Excelsior. Yeah, I mean.
Oh my God, my newsfeed was like weighed down with Excelsior comments.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
It was insane. It was absolutely insane.
And before we continue, that's the part about this that is, and it's one of the reasons why we're going through the cameos. I mean, he had like a third renaissance in a way. Mm-hmm. I mean, so we talked about this a little earlier, getting into his biography a little bit. I mean, he was enlisted in World War II, and instead of being in fighting, he wrote training manuals, and he would do things in the, there's so many different divisions of the army and the military. I mean, part of that is the, writing processes and writing training manuals,
right.
and there's mundane jobs,
yeah.
but they're just as important as anything else.
Right.
And he was a part of that. He actually took over Timely Comics. They were going out of business, and so he's like, I want to do my own thing, and that was Fantastic Four, and the guy's like, I don't care what you do, yeah, we're going out of business.
We're going out of business.
And Fantastic Four #1 was one of the highest-selling books of the time, and then he basically got handed the editor-in-chief job shortly after. His run of Fantastic Four was like 114 issues, I believe, with Jack Kirby. I mean, it was one of the longest runs, broken by Eric Larson, Savage Dragon. On any single
well done,
title,
Eric.
Though. Oh, yeah. Eric Larson has a funny anecdote, too. These were the kind of the funny moments from all this stuff. He got to draw a script from Stan Lee, one of the final scripts that Stan Lee really ever did.
Okay.
And they misspelled Eric's name. It's Eric with a C, but it's supposed to be Eric with a K.
Yeah.
So it's kind of funny there, too.
Kind of commemorative, but a goof.
Yeah.
A goof off.
So, his biography is... Look... To us folks in the comic book industry, me fail English, that's impossible. to those of us in the comic book industry,
yes, well done.
He would be legendary. It would be a passing. It's a national tragedy, though, because of the movies. I don't think there's any doubt about that.
Well, yes, it became world renowned because of the movies.
I think you would sit there.
He's very niche.
And I'm not saying that's
us.
Good or bad. I'm not judging. I'm just merely stating a fact. I think there's a fact that people discovered this world because of him.
Right.
Or once they discovered the world thanks to the movies, they get a little deeper and go, oh, it's Stan Lee created all these guys. Oh, Stan Lee. You know, Stan Lee was always a household name. There's no question. I'm not disputing that.
Right.
I don't think the magnitude of the loss, though. I don't think the celebrities posting photos. I don't think there's these. There was one like where The Rock was posting a photo of having met him and being moved by what he told him early on in his career. I mean, there's like so many of these stories that you sit there and go, you know what? This doesn't happen without the movies. That's what these cameos are actually more important than you think. I don't necessarily, again.
Maybe not. Maybe not. I mean, yeah, I think the current fervor is because of those movies. You know, the reason he was on Entertainment Tonight.
Yeah.
as a, his obit was on you know, on these major news outlets is because of the movies, definitely, because he made himself relevant all over again.
And also,
he made
himself and also the movies
socially
themselves,
or pop culturally relevant.
And the movies themselves, though, were such a phenomenon that it like I said, he had a third renaissance in his life. I mean,
it could have easily been non attributable to him. You know,
yeah.
it could have been easily like, oh, Disney, you know, invented Marvel, Disney's Marvel, whatever. So, I mean, the genius stroke of including him in every one of these, him legitimizing, him christening every one of these movies. I don't know whose idea it was. I know his first appearance was in X-Men.
Yeah.
With which was Bryan Singer. So whoever idea it was behind that. That was the catalyst for all of this.
Yeah.
And it might have been, might have been savvy business wheeling and dealing.
Well, that's one
it
of the things. That's the one of the things they talk
Stanley's,
about.
Stanley's,
Stanley was a master marketer.
Too.
But you know, quite frankly, I mean, marketing is so huge, though. So it makes sense. Go ahead. Sorry.
I don't remember what I was going
to
say.
No. I didn't mean to cut you off, but you talk about how it might have been Stanley's own ability to market stuff. And
maybe,
it's true.
Yeah. It might possibly have been like his own idea. Whoever's idea it was a stroke of genius.
Yeah.
And whoever's idea it was to keep it going, to make it a running gag, you know, it's right up there with the after credit, you know.
Absolutely.
You're looking
in every movie.
You know what?
And it doesn't matter if it's a Marvel Studios
movie. I'm not
movie.
Even looking for him.
Right.
Every time he pops up, it's like,
surprise.
Oh, there he is. Yeah. You know, okay, now it's his official movie. It's an official Marvel movie. And like, it's funny, he bridges all the different branches that use the Marvel logo.
Yeah.
Sony movies, Fox movies, and
that's
and
what
and
I was
going to
say.
Movies.
It doesn't matter if it's a Marvel Studios movie or a Fox movie. It doesn't matter. He was there and it was awesome. Just getting down our countdown before we go to commercial break, Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2 was number 2. The significance behind this one was, though, is that he was, I guess, seen on the Planet Full of Watchers, I guess, kind of thing. So for years, folks had speculated Stanley's character was connected throughout every film. And while that theory has been teased, it was never explicitly concerned until Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2 had some fun referencing it. As Kevin Feige put it when he spoke to CinemaBlend, this cameo does a great job of embodying the ethereal creative being Lee was for Marvel Comics, and an acknowledgement that he is the one who sits above. It's not bad. The number one cameo, according to CinemaBlend, and feel free to disagree or agree, or just revel in the cameos, because, I mean, come on. I mean, it's not like we're ranking the Mount Rushmore of all-time movie greatness. We're just it's fun. Ant-Man and Wasp. Stanley's joke about the 60s taking a toll on him is a high point in Ant-Man and Wasp, which is really saying something given the film's laughs. It wasn't the only great joke he had either, as deleted scenes show Lee delivering several other gut-busting lines that could have easily made the final cut as well. The line chosen is especially ironic, considering Lee is a strong opponent of drugs during the era. There you go.
That's their number one?
That was their number one.
No.
I gotta go ASM, number one. Amazing Spider-Man, the first one.
Can you act like I'm on the Earth?
Come on!
ASM. HIMPONTAS.
All right. When we come back, we go spinning the racks.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network.
The best designs for your life start at home. I'm David Thiergartner, interior designer and host of At Home. Listen live Tuesday nights at 8 p.m. Eastern Time as we talk to the very best professionals about interior design and the design that's all around us, right here on talkradio.nyc.
Are you a conscious co-creator? Are you on a quest to raise your vibration and your consciousness? I'm Sam Liebowitz, your conscious consultant. And on my show, The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, we will touch upon all these topics and more. Listen live at our new time on Thursdays at 12 noon Eastern Time. That's The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, Thursdays, 12 noon on talkradio.nyc.
Are you feeling unhappy with your body, shape, or size? Ever feel out of control with food? I'm Elizabeth Tripp, your host of Nourish the Soul. Join me to uncover the root to these imbalances and discover a permanent solution to living a healthy life. Join us every Wednesday at my new time, 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on talkradio.nyc.
TalkingAlternative.com.
I had a ticket bought for me by by an enthusiastic friend.
No. Did you know that that friend now asked me to go?
So does that mean I don't have a ticket anymore?
This is correct. This is correct. I actually passed it on to Sam. So now Sam is going with your friend.
With my friend.
To the show.
Well, now I have a lot to say about this. And none of it's good.
Secrets of the Sire.
Welcome back to Secrets of the Sire. We talk comics, movies, TV, and pop culture every Wednesday night, 8 p.m. Eastern, streaming live on the internet radio, that is talkradio.nyc, and streaming live on facebook.com/secretsofthesire, Twitter, which is at Michael_Dolce, which is mine, and youtube.com/secretsofthesire, which is us. I want to thank Heather Peters for joining us. CJ Hogan, welcome. Annie Banks for jumping on. Leisha Davis commented, X-Men Apocalypse, holding wife Joan, which is how I want to picture him right now.
Uh-huh.
Was a touching cameo.
Yeah.
So I agree. This is meant to be kind
it's
of like...
celebration.
Yeah, it is. But you know, it's like those funerals where... The Irish funeral. It's like an Irish wake,
Irish
you know?
Wake,
People are having fun and just reliving the good moments.
Yeah.
I mean, look...
It's not enough alcohol, though.
You know, well... No, I guess not. Unless people are charging your Amex card right now, which is, I think, what is happening to me. I literally, guys, got a text message from my credit card company that someone just charged $3,000 to it.
You're lucky they said, hey, is this charge legit?
I know, right?
As opposed to, hey, thank you for spending $3,000 for Amex.
There's nothing legit about it. It's the fact that my credit card company knows I am poor and is like, there's no way you're charging $3,000 to your credit card.
Even if you were
right
filthy
now.
Rich, you would want your credit card company to think you were poor.
Yeah.
So let's
yeah,
call
we'll give,
it.
We'll give a
it's better than your credit card company thinking you're rich, because then it won't give you any sanctions or any allowances or anything like that.
All right.
Don't do that. It's a bad... I've never been there, but I've seen it. It's a bad place. It's a bad place to be.
This is a Stan Lee celebration episode. Welcome Joe Mulvey, who's on the Facebook feed as well. Welcome to all the folks on Twitter who are on there right now. Well, he might be on there. I don't know. We have one viewer on that too. But we do this every week. We go...
Oh, boy.
Spinning the racks.
Spin the racks. Spin the racks.
And I've got a Stanley appropriate one. Apparently, Arnie Hammer, not Arnie, I keep saying Arnie, it's
Army Hammer,
which is a terrible name.
That's Arm and Hammer. That's I always think of baking soda whenever I hear
about
that.
Yeah. Well, he trashes celebrities posting shots of themselves with Stan Lee. He went on Twitter and he said, so touched by all the celebrities posting pictures of themselves with Stan Lee, no better way to commemorate an absolute legend than putting up a picture of yourself. And then he got ripped by Jeffrey Dean Morgan. He got ripped by a lot of people.
I bet he did. But still, you know what? Kind of with him.
You know, here's
kind of with
this
him.
This is a head versus heart.
I understand. And listen, if I had one, it would be up there. I would have succumbed to peer pressure. I've been like, everyone's posting. Oh, I got to post my picture of him. I almost posted my picture of me and Boba Fett just because I needed to post myself with a celebrity just to feel like I don't really have a picture of Boba Fett, so, which is also making me sad.
Here's the thing.
But
on the surface, I actually agree with you also. Except here's what makes them posting.
Wait, before you say anything, because I know it has nothing to do with that. It's not about, in reality.
Yeah.
It's just an expression of affection.
We live in reality?
No.
No.
But it's just an expression of affection for a celebrity. That's all it is in reality. Nobody that I know who posted anything, I don't know about anybody else, nobody on my newsfeed that posted a picture of themselves with Stan Lee was trying to exalt themselves in lieu of the tragic
but
death.
But here's actually...
One second. The observation is still brilliant. You know, it's like, wait a minute. Why are you part of this? Why are you making yourself part of this? And that I've always thought that social media was so narcissistic, and it was just inherently narcissistic. There's no way you can engage on social media without
Alpha intern Chris is like agreeing with you 100%.
Yes,
he's like shaking, but he shaved his head, so I don't.
Yes,
respect
he
him
doesn't
anymore,
really
so.
Exist. I don't even know who that
not
is.
Not like
actually.
Nazi type shaved his head. No one can see him. He's well groomed shaved his head. He had a beautiful, beautiful.
It was haircut. Impressive. It was substantial. Yeah, his head of hair, yeah, and then he was like,
But he's agreeing with
I'm
you.
I'm done combing it.
So here's the thing, though. My head agrees with what you're saying. My heart doesn't. And here's why I actually say my head then turns around and says, no. These are celebrities posting pictures with him. Do you know what I mean? Like, there's a certain aspect to
that's what
which
I'm
is
saying
actually
about...
No. But there's a certain aspect to that where I'm actually kind of like impressed. Like, they're in awe of the fact that they're taking pictures with him. Do you know what I mean?
It's true. It's true.
Like, how amazing
is
that?
Like I said, if you don't think about it deeper than it goes, deeper than the surface, there's absolutely nothing wrong with it. But I think that social media is so inherently narcissistic that there's no way you can engage in social media without feeding that shadow of narcissism inside of you. And so that just the fact that someone else came and like was a really tongue-in-cheek about, hey, way to put yourself in the middle of a tragedy, you know? Yeah. Like, it's like taking a selfie with the Hindenburg exploding behind you.
I know.
And like, look what I own. Look what I went through, you know?
I know.
So, I mean, the selfie culture that we live in,
I know.
It's disgusting.
I know.
You know? So it's not like that, but it is like
I
that.
I know.
You know?
It's not meant to, but I can understand why he'd think that. That being said, the narcissistic culture, people are destroying him. Like, he had to delete the tweet. He deleted the tweet. Now, he didn't just...
Hit send, as we say. That's the motto of the show, isn't it?
I don't disagree with
don't
you.
Don't hit send.
So Hammer, best known for films like Call Me By Your Name and Social Network, provided the voice of Strongarm.
Hey, what about Lone Ranger? He was the Lone Ranger. That's right.
He provided the voice of Strongarm in the 2014 TV movie Stan Lee's Mighty Seven. The actor
he was the man from Uncle.
Now, at first he didn't let up on Twitter when challenged. One guy wrote, they worked with him. And Hammer wrote back, me too. Wow, that's actually got a double-edged connotation to it, doesn't it? One woman responded, maybe they're just remembering how it felt to meet him with those photos, but Hammer wasn't having it. If Stan impacted your life, i.e. all of our lives, with his work, post his work that touched you the most, he wrote. Posting a selfie makes his death about you and how cool you felt taking a picture with him.
That's not necessarily true. That's a condemnation.
I know.
It shouldn't be like that. It is inherently narcissistic that the first thing you think about when someone dies is a picture you took with that person. It is inherently narcissistic, but it is not it's not acutely toxic narcissism.
Yeah, I agree. You know? I think also in this particular case, when it comes to social media, the caption is worth just as much as the photo here. Because, and I'll use The Rocks as an example, or Robert Downey Jr. Robert Downey Jr. posted, you know, without you, I owe it all to you.
Right.
You know, he's true because Robert Downey Jr. Doesn't get Sherlock Holmes without Iron Man.
Right.
He doesn't end up resurrecting
it.
His career.
But
with that.
See, in that, even in myself, I posted thank you, Stan.
Yeah.
Which means I'm still thinking about his contributions to me.
Yes.
As he's gone.
Yes. True.
So that's still true. Narcissism, even true. Though. But I mean, the only virtue about what I did is that I make no bones about it. I'm thanking him for what he gave me instead of pretending that I thought that he was an exalted, you know, which I do, but instead of like trying to make it sound like it was a symphony, but it's still narcissism.
I actually really goofed my tribute to him. My first tribute to him was, RIP Stan Lee. Nothing else needs to be said. And I'm like, afterwards, I'm like, idiot. Just enough said.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Like, what an idiot I am.
That's why.
Then I posted something else to make up for that because I'm just.
I wrote at thank you, Stan, instead of hashtag thank you, Stan. Because I forgot how to do a hashtag. And then everyone was like,
and then you're like, you're adding him. He's not here.
Yeah.
Anymore.
And everyone was like, what is an at thing? You know, what is there a
what's
website?
That going to do now?
And I'm like, if you don't know, you
can
don't
you,
understand
can you
it.
Can you at somebody in heaven right now? Can you at somebody?
I
in
can.
Heaven?
Yeah. I can.
Yeah.
My last name is Godwin, baby.
I think you can.
All right. Deal with it. Deal with it.
Well, that's, you know, the other thing I tried to do when I posted this week also was to, the one thing I was so amazed at was just how many people, and we said it before, and this has been a tribute to him, and I'm actually kind of glad we did it because it was sad to hear it, but just how many. So I was listening to, when I was prepping for the show, I was listening to a song from Not a Surf called Imaginary Friends. It was just one of those ironic things.
Right.
And it's like, how many imaginary friends did he create for people? And it's an amazing concept.
It's an amazing concept. It's nonstop.
So, Stan, wherever you are, which you know, I'm sure you are where you're supposed to be with your wife, we thank you. And we thank Jack Kirby. We thank Steve Ditko. We thank
everybody.
A lot of folks for giving us. I mean, I used to have this
everybody
argument.
Who picked up a pencil and drew a comic book page before me.
Yeah.
Everybody. Thank
yeah.
you.
I mean, that's the thing. It's, I you know, the impact that you have, especially when what you're doing has no discernible purpose except to entertain, but then to impact people's lives like that. It's pretty amazing. All right. Next week, we are back. It's Thanksgiving time. We're going to tell you what we're thankful for in 2018 and what we're looking ahead to in 2019. I swear to God, we'll actually talk about it this time. We also got Fright Night's William Ragsdale on to talk about his new film. I'm pretty excited about all this stuff. So thank you, folks, for joining us. Join us here every week, Wednesday night, 8 p.m. Eastern. Bye-bye.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network. Are you stuck in a rut? Negative thoughts, feelings, and conversations got you down? Hi, I'm Noreen Sumter, the Potentiator. Tune in every Tuesday at 9 to 10 p.m. Eastern Time and listen for new ideas on my show, Beyond Potential, Live Life Your Way, on talkradio.nyc.
Hey, all you crazy listeners. Looking to boost your business? Why not advertise on Talking Alternative with very reasonable rates? Interested? Simply email at info@talkingalternative.com. Talking Alternative.
Do you like comic books and movies? How about TV and pop culture? Then you've come to the right place. Hi, I'm Michael Dolce, host of Secrets of the Sire. Joined every week by my co-host, Hassan, Lord of the Radio Godwin, together we have over 15 years' experience creating graphic novels, screenplays, and more. Join us as we bring you the inside scoop on the pop culture universe you love to talk about. Wednesday nights, 8 p.m. Eastern, talkradio.nyc.
Did you know you've been playing poker your whole life, even if you've never played a hand of cards? Hi, I'm Ellen Lakend, author of Poker Woman and host of the new show, Poker Divas. On the show, I talk about how poker strategy helps you win in business, life, and love. Tune in live every Thursday, 1 p.m. to 2 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on talkradio.nyc.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network at www.talkingalternative.com. Now, broadcasting 24 hours a day. Talking Alternative.
Are you a conscious co-creator? Are you on a quest to raise your vibration and your consciousness? I'm Sam Liebowitz, your conscious consultant, and on my show, The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, we will touch upon all these topics and more. Listen live at our new time on Thursdays at 12 noon Eastern Time. That's The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, Thursdays, 12 noon on talkradio.nyc.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network.